Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast, taking the back bacon of humor, frying it in the pan of the internet, using the oil of friendship, and then cutting off the rind of bad times and throwing it in the bin of the bin.
I guess we're cooking back bacon.
We're cooking back bacon. And sometimes you've got to cut that rind off, James.
You've got to cut off the rind. Try and be kind.
It's the last episode of Series 10.
Whoa! Time flies when you're doing a podcast. That said, Gamble, my name is James Acaster. We own a dream restaurant together. And every week we invite in a guest. We ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And today, our guest is Paul Rudd.
I got mildly distracted by, you said today.
Today.
It sounded like you said today instead of today. And normally I join in with the name of the guest, and I would have loved to have joined in with that one because it's a very exciting guest, James.
It's Paul Rudd.
But it's Paul Rudd.
Today.
Yeah, and today our guest is Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd is here.
Global treasure.
Global treasure, Paul Rudd. I mean, you know, we can't even begin to list all the things that he's done over the years that have captured everyone's hearts.
I wouldn't dare.
Everyone loves Paul Rudd. You know, we're very excited to have him in the Dream Restaurant as well, because for a long time on this podcast, there's been an ongoing, I wouldn't say a mystery about Paul.
A long, long time. It started with the Aisling B episode, which was a very early episode of this podcast.
Yeah, talking series one.
Where Aisling had worked with Paul on a TV show and said that he does not like sauce.
Doesn't like any condiments of any sort. And then it would come up every now and again with people.
If someone mentioned anyone who doesn't like sauce condiments, one of us would go, like Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd doesn't like sauce. But then Asma Khan of Darjeeling Express came on and said, hey, Paul Rudd came in and he likes sauce.
He likes sauce. And then we find ourselves in a situation where James is currently working with Paul Rudd.
Yeah, as we speak.
James deliberately got himself a job working with Paul Rudd.
Had to.
So we could find out if Paul Rudd likes sauce.
Had to for the pod, man. Had to get myself in there. I'm not going to tell you what lengths I had to go to in order to get on this project. I had to sabotage a lot of other people's careers.
Yes.
In order to get my foot in the door, but it worked. I was able to ask Paul over a series of, like, I've met him a few times now.
Abba Voyage. You met Abba Voyage?
We went to see Abba Voyage together.
Screaming, do you like sauce over the top of Waterloo?
Yeah. But over time, I managed to get Paul to agree to come on the pod, and we're going to find out, hopefully, for the once and for all.
Is he saucy or is he naughty?
Is he saucy or is he naughty? Yes, I guess that is the question.
I won't ask it exactly like that on the episode.
I hope not.
I'm looking forward to meeting him, though.
I told him this podcast was good.
Why the fuck did you do that?
I thought we'd pull it off.
That's not what you do. That's not what you do when you book people. You go, it's a piece of shit, but do you mind coming in?
I told him it was good.
Yeah.
I told him it's a good podcast, but if you say saucy or naughty, he's going to walk out the door.
Is it shitty or is it naughty?
Oh, Jesus. But listen, even though we're very excited to have Paul Rudd on the podcast.
Should we plug some of Paul's projects?
However, Ed, as always on the Off-Menu Podcast, there's a secret ingredient.
Don't tell me we're doing this to Paul Rudd, James.
It's a secret ingredient that we deem to be unacceptable if the guest says it, they get kicked out of the Dream Restaurant. And I sad to say that we are having this rule, even with Paul, even though I'd have to see Paul later on this week at work.
Yeah.
Kick him out the dream restaurant and then walk in and be like, hey, buddy, as if I didn't spit in his face the other day.
It better not happen before we find out if he's saucy or nutty.
That would be awful. But this week, the secret ingredient is
ants.
Well, come on.
Come on.
Was it not going to be ants?
Come on.
And look, we can't remember if we've had ants as a secret ingredient before. Benito searched it in the off-menu database, but that's messed up in the past.
Yeah.
You know, but still.
We've eaten ants before together.
You and I ate ants in a kitchen, a test kitchen.
In a tent kitchen.
I guess that's why we haven't put ants on it before.
Yeah.
It's because we enjoyed those ants that we had in the test kitchen.
But now we've got it. We've got fucking Ant-Man in the studio.
Ant-Man is here.
Yeah.
Ant-Man can't eat ants. That would be awful.
Mm.
They're his friends. He can talk to them.
But what about when he's big?
No, but even then, it's like morally, that's messed up. He talks to them. Anthony is his favourite ant who dies in the first one. Spoilers.
Yeah, but I think he eats Anthony.
What?
At the end.
No, he doesn't. That's not. Maybe, is that post-credits?
Different film.
Post-credits?
Yeah, post-credits, yeah.
Well, listen.
It's Brett Goldstein plays Anthony.
He's like, yes, father. I guess eaten. Spoilers there.
Very excited to have Paul Rudd
Roy
in.
Ant.
Oh, I can't wait to speak to Paul Rudd when we're on this sort of form. Oh, and we should say, before you listen to the episode, this was recorded before the strikes.
Yes, Paul Rudd ain't crossing no picket lines.
No way, this was recorded way before the strikes.
Way before.
This is the off-menu menu of Paul Rudd. Welcome, Paul, to the Dream Restaurant.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be here.
Welcome, Paul Rudd, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
I'm really, really thrilled. It's an honor to be here. It's great to be sitting at this table with you without headphones, I might add.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the dream. It's the Dream Restaurant, you know. There's no headphones in dreams.
Yeah.
It's a peek behind the curtain for the listener. This is the first they've heard that we don't wear headphones.
Well, that I know. By the way, I knew it when I said it. And I always think that's fun, to listen to something and learn a little bit about, you know, how the sausage is made.
Yeah, yeah. So we never have headphones, which is why... Well, why you never hear us respond to each other?
We're in different rooms.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do I take the jacket off? Because, like, that sounds like a lot. That sounds noisy to me. Ben over here is shaking. Ben has headphones.
Yeah, yeah, Ben's got the headphones.
Ben's instantly. But, it looks like a nice jacket.
It's not.
It's warm.
Nah, it's fine. It's like you could buy it at, like, a deli. That's how good that jacket is.
A deli jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever bought like a t-shirt from a deli when you eat somewhere and you're like, I like that so much, I'm going to buy the merch?
Oh, yeah. I went to, actually, just a couple of days ago, I pass, and this is, I mean, it's got to be a put on. It's a noodle bar, and you've seen it here. I guess I could say it's a.
Please.
It's Fat Fuck Noodle Bar.
Yes. What?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, really? So I thought, well, okay. If it's intentional, it's funny.
Yeah.
If it's not intentional, it's the greatest place restaurant I've ever seen. But I did pop my head in there to think, do you get a t-shirt? Only because I knew that my son had seen that, and he said, oh, man, I got to get a shirt on that. I didn't eat there, but but I thought,
But if there were t-shirts, you'd go, it's intentional for sure.
Yeah.
But now there's not t-shirts, you don't know.
And by the way, they scored points with me for not having any merch for sale. And that made me think, maybe it really is
might be just, how's it spelled?
P-H-U-C.
I think I know the place. Is it like, it's in like West London? Is it like Chelsea sort of way?
Exactly.
I know the place. They've got like a mural on the side of the building, haven't they, that says Fat Fuck Noodle Bar?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I think they know.
They have, well, if they didn't at first, they do now.
I reckon one day of being open, someone stuck their head around the door and went,
you guys know what your place is, right? I've always loved, stores and restaurants, anything that has a really cute name.
Yeah.
Is like a really clever, you know, like a salon called The Harem, H-A-I-R-E-M. And so I have a buddy of mine, and we always take pictures of just, and have for years. Sometimes we won't even talk, but a picture will show up. Mm-hmm. And it'll just be a cute name of a store that's, hateable. Yeah, I tend to not like, I wouldn't ever wear the noodle bar shirt. I don't like profanity on t-shirts. I don't think it's clever. And, I really have an aversion to it.
Yeah.
And I live in New York and there's, you know, there are t-shirts, like you walk down the street and it's just in some store and it just says, fuck you, you fucking fuck on a shirt. And I'm like, who buys that? And who would wear it? And yeah, I feel bad enough even saying it on the podcast.
Yeah.
What about if this episode goes out, Fat Fuck Noodle Bar hears it.
Mm-hmm.
And goes, we should do t-shirts, that'd be great. And then they bring out t-shirts and say, Fat Fuck Noodle Bar, with your face on it, because you spoke about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
What would you do? Would you...
Well, on the t-shirt, it's you, but you're wearing a t-shirt that says, fuck you, you fucking fuck on it.
Yeah, there's that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, different layers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck you, you fucking fuck, fat fuck noodle bar. If they did that, I could never... get litigious. That's just too good of a, that's it. I'd be honored.
Yeah, you'd have to leave it.
Yeah.
They don't even need noodle bar. Just have fat fuck.
Yeah.
Just your face with two thumbs up.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone's ever sued someone and asked for like a box of the t-shirts as well?
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm suing for.
Yeah.
I just want a box of t-shirts.
Don't want them to stop. We're very excited to have you on the podcast because there's a long running thing on the podcast that we need to settle with you.
Yep. Are we getting this out of the way early doors?
Yeah. I think if we don't get it out of the way early doors, everyone's just going to, they won't be able to think of anything else.
Yeah,
the listeners, the listeners probably don't even remember us talking about Fat Fuck Noodle Bar. So all they've been thinking about is whether or not Paul likes sauce.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I love that I'm here and we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah. Yeah. So for anyone who hasn't heard the previous episodes, Ashlyn B, who was in a series with Paul, she said that during that filming, Paul refused any condiments. He would not have any sauce, any condiments on
anything
his food
wet
at all. Anything wet. He only likes dry food. It got brought up a few times in a few episodes as a joke. And then Asma Khan came on the podcast, who Paul has been to Asma's restaurant, and we said, did Paul have sauce when he was there? Was it all dry food? She said, no, I don't have sauce. He loves sauce. So we don't know.
Yeah.
Everyone's confused.
It's the real mystery here.
And this is the only person who can give us the answer.
This is basically a true crime podcast now.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's get to
the bottom of this. I'm going to throw, I'm putting all my cards on the table.
Yeah.
I like sauce. I think sauces are great. I kind of grew up in Kansas City. From the age of 10 to 20, and Kansas City is a huge barbecue place. And so barbecue sauce, it's like people put it on everything. I like it. I like hot sauce. Yeah. I like it. I mean, I like lots of sauces, but I loathe ketchup and mustard.
Right.
And
this
by the way,
where it's come from.
Yeah. I don't like ketchup and mustard, and mayonnaise. I just don't know what that is. So I avoid it. See, this is where it gets a little weird. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have a sandwich put mayonnaise on it.
Yeah.
But coleslaw, which is made with mayonnaise, I'll eat it.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Mayonnaise is the real gray area.
Yeah.
Mayonnaise is really, and by the way, I've seen some mayonnaise that is gray. And that's why I'm just not going to touch it.
You won't go to it either.
No. It's so, even the idea of it, I find repugnant.
But you have coleslaw, so it's almost as if you don't trust yourself with how much mayonnaise you're supposed to put on.
It's a good point. Yeah. There are certain things that I think, I'm going to force myself to eat this and like it. Mm-hmm. When I was little, I think I liked four things maybe. And it was always embarrassing to go to somebody's house or go to a restaurant and somebody would serve something and I just like, oh no. I would avoid going to people's houses for dinner.
Yeah.
I can't deal because they're going to serve something I'm not going to like.
This is when you were little, you said.
Yeah.
And how old's little?
Like 32. I'd say probably like 6-7 years old.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing to be, obviously, like children don't like some foods and like say, I only like these things, but also to have that self-awareness of like, I can't go over to someone's house. I'm going to really.
I still have like these traumatic memories. I went to a McDonald's or something with a friend of mine and his dad said, what do you want? I said, a hamburger. And my mom always ordered hamburgers for me and they would always she would order them plain. And so I got a hamburger and had ketchup and mustard and pickles on it. And I'm like, oh, I don't like this. And he said, well, you got to eat it. I said, can I get a different one? Cause I don't like the stuff on it. And he's like, no, you gotta eat. That's what you wanted? That's what I ordered. That's what you're gonna eat. This is, by the way, it was like my friend's dad.
Yeah.
Now, like, what a jerk.
Yeah.
And I don't know, was he trying to teach me something? What, do you think I'm his son? Yeah. And so I remember eating this burger, kind of crying like Coco from Fame when she's covering her, takes her shirt off, and I'm eating this burger that I hate. And then I remember I would sometimes go over to his house, and the first thing I'd say, my mom said I didn't have to eat anything I don't want to eat. When I go play, if I go have dinner or something, and
so he did.
Yeah, it was really traumatic.
Yeah,
awful. Yeah. Yeah,
and see why you don't like ketchup now.
Well, I don't think that caused it, but it just never even occurred to me. I think as a really little kid who loved and loves French fries or chips, as you say, to put anything with it because they're so perfect on their own.
Sure. So that cemented it by the sound of things.
That was.
But before that, you didn't like ketchup mustard.
No. No, and mustard, you know, I think it would, like, if it got on your finger or on a clay, like the smell never goes away, and I just think of a hot day and mustard on my shirt because I think I went to a football match and let somebody accidentally got mustard on my shirt.
Yeah.
And it was hot. And I'm like, oh, this sucks. I want to go home. I got to take this off. And I had a real kind of visceral reaction to it. I went to college with a guy who had such an aversion. His name was Walt Niedner. That's his real name. And he hated the idea of ketchup and mustard mixed together on a plate. And we would sit around and say, boy, imagine like if you just squirt out some ketchup and, you know, and it makes that sound. You sound like a paper plate, and you're outside on like a picnic, and then some mustard. And he would just say, "Stop, stop!" And we could always make him throw up. You could just by imagining it. And so it became. I mean, we were vicious group, you know, all the time. Just start talking about, and then it got to the point where it's like, so. You have a paper plate. You didn't have to say mustard. Like, he would then think about it and throw up.
So this for the word paper plate.
Because obviously where I thought that was going was you were going to say you literally did it in front of him or you would get ketchup and mustard. But all you needed to do
just talk about it.
To make Nietzsche.
His imagination did the rest. He hated it. I think he had a similar thing like at summer camp or something where it's like, oh, there's something just grossed him out about it. And so, but I get it. I feel the same way.
Sounds like Niedner got it worse than you. Like Niedner when he was a kid.
Niedner something definitely happened. Had it worse than me.
Something happened.
Yeah.
So what was the catch? So you didn't like mustard. I understand the mustard on your finger, mustard on your shirt stinks forever, especially on a sunny day. What was the ketchup?
Ketchup just seems just like sugary and tangy and nasty to me.
Yeah.
I like a burger and I'll put like a cheeseburger on top, but I don't want ketchup on it.
You want it just as is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, still, it's like sometimes a burger will show up and then it's like, oh, I got to look under the bun. What's on this thing? And it'll be like, and the worst is when it's like a pinkish orange. I think that's a Thousand Island something or other.
Yeah.
It's like a mix of mayonnaise and ketchup and some other nonsense I don't want. I have to try and scrape it off. And
that's a nightmare. Thousand Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, for someone.
Thousand Island.
Who doesn't like
what is that? What is, do you?
No.
I think we've had this discussion on the podcast before,
and no one knows what it is. Gets to the bottom of it. No one knows what it is.
I think it must be like ketchup and mayo mixed, right? Ugh. With a bit of spice in there.
There's definitely those two things in there. I think maybe some there's Tabasco some Tabasco in there.
All right.
Beyond that, I have no idea.
I can honestly say I don't even know what it tastes like. I've never had it.
Yeah.
I don't think you should.
I'm not going to start now.
How did Walt Niedner feel about Thousand Island?
I never even asked.
On a paper plate.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I imagine if I asked, but he'd puke before I even got the question out.
But yeah. You know, if you want to like, because I don't know why Aisling was convinced.
No. She was, by the way, because she's not totally wrong in that, again, it took me a while and it to kind of come around because I did like things really dry. I would say it wasn't even until I loved salad. Like I've always loved vegetables and salads, but I never even put salad dressing on a salad. Wow. That's even weirder, by the way.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until I think I was in high school or something that all right, I'll try it. And I was like, all right, I can deal with this.
Yeah.
But I, the idea of just dressing and sauces for the you know first part of my life,
yeah,
it was yeah, I kind of avoided it. But now, yeah, hot sauce, anything at Asma's restaurant was delicious, and you know I'll eat anything now.
Yeah,
as long as it isn't ketchup mustard.
What if it was for a scene? What if you were acting in something? Let's say they were doing a remake of Dumb and Dumber, and you were playing Lloyd.
Yeah,
and there's the scene where they have the hot chili peppers,
sure.
And they discover that
classic
squirt
scene.
In the ketchup and mustard onto their tongue,
yeah. Right into his,
into his mouth. Into his mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. What if you had to do that scene from Dumb and Dumber?
And how do you feel about being cast as Lloyd immediately with no hesitation?
Well, it's either Lloyd or Harry with the ketchup on the tongue. And one of them's got fair hair, one of them's got darker hair. So that's what happened to you then.
It's my chipped tooth. Well, here's the thing. I'm a professional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do what I have to do for the work, for the art. Yeah. But I would dread that day. It's like, oh God, that scene's coming up next week. And I might talk to the prop department or whoever is in hand, you know, handles that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And think like, does like hot sauce work? Do it look like ketchup?
You could do it almost like a raspberry coolie or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Mango coolie.
Yeah. I mean, I probably prefer that.
No way.
Yeah,
Carrie.
You know what? That's what I would do, I think. I
Jim
really
Carrey
do.
Was using the real stuff.
Yeah.
That guy doesn't.
I also think that you can tell.
Yeah,
like there, you can tell that was real ketchup and mustard, and yeah. I don't think there's you got to do it. I guess you just got to do it.
I've just done a photo shoot for my next tour, and I'm eating a hot dog in it, and I'm covered in ketchup and mustard.
Oh my God!
And it stank all day.
Yeah, you can't get it off you.
Yeah, you can smell it now. I guess. Yeah.
You smell it. You can be honest. You smell it.
I had a job once where I used to glaze hams. That was a real job, and. And I would work with ham all day.
Yeah.
I had to unload a truck in the morning, and then I had to kind of slice cut the fat off of it and put it in a slicer and then glaze it. And I smelled like ham for 4 months until I quit that job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're a little ham boy. Yeah. Were you going to auditions during that time as well, smelling like
no,
ham?
No, no. I was trying to make money because I knew I was going to move to go to an acting school. So right. I had to try and save up.
But by the time you got to acting school, you didn't smell of ham anymore? You had another period
about in between? 2 months later. The first 2 months of acting school, it took a while to completely wash off.
It's good to stand out in auditions though, right?
Yeah.
You've got to stick in their mind.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh yeah.
Who is the guy who stunk of ham?
Yeah.
Stank.
And there's a friend of mine used to call me Paul Ham Glazer. Because I think there was like from Starsky and Hutch, there was an actor named Paul Michael Glazer. And so my friend Dave would always say, hey, it's Paul Ham Glazer.
One more question before we get into the menu proper. Bob Mortimer has been on this podcast and told a story that him and his son go to the cinema. They always get a hot dog and they'll put the ketchup and mustard on the hot dog. And his son, who was a grown adult, allows Bob to mix the ketchup and mustard together on his hot dog with his finger. He swirls it through his son's on the top of the sausage and will just like swirl his finger around, and then he goes, it's great to be alive, son, and then licks his finger at the end. How would you, and more importantly, Walt Niedner feel about that?
Walt Niedner would go to a movie with him once.
Yeah.
Actually, that's horrible. He would touch his son's hot dog.
Yeah, so it does his.
By the way, which out of context is a very strange sentence to utter. Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah.
That's so it's ugh. Yeah,
it looked good,
but it's his son, you know. Same.
Yeah, still.
Same fingers, basically.
But they haven't touched the same stuff that day.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And you're also going into a movie theater, so God knows what's been, you know, what's on those armrests and in this table. Like, that's
also any cinema hot dog that's gross anyway, because it's been on those hot rollers.
I think we're burying the lead here.
Yeah.
Who goes to a cinema eats a hot dog?
It was his dream starter.
Yeah.
For food menu.
That was his dream starter?
Yeah.
Oh. Odeon cinema hot dog.
Wow. Well, that's, I understand the nostalgia if that's, you know, I get that, but wow. There is, I mean, look, a hot dog on a grill at a barbecue or a cookout or something is fantastic. Or going to a sport, like a baseball game or something. Mm-hmm. I love hot dogs, but I don't put anything on them.
Yeah, you're having that dry, right?
Yeah, I mean, I could deal with relish and onions. Sauerkraut. Onions, I love. Anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could do it.
Yeah. Although some people get chili dogs.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do that.
That would be sloppy. That looks like the wettest of the wet.
That looks disgusting. That really looks gross.
Yeah.
Also, it's like, what? Choose one. Have some chili or have a hot dog, but like it just seems like it's going to be a mess.
Oh, no, it's fantastic.
It's good, right?
I love it.
There's
a place in Washington, D.C. that does amazing chili dogs. And I ordered two, ate them, and then ordered two more.
What's it called?
Ben's Chili Bowl, I think.
Ben's Chili Bowl.
Obama's been there. There's a picture of him on the wall.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Good on him.
You know, to be fair, I do like both of those things. I'm sure if I ate one, I could deal.
Yeah.
Just seems like a disaster waiting to happen in so many ways.
Yeah, it's very messy.
It's not walking food.
No, it's not.
You
really,
you got to sit down.
Yeah.
You got to sit down.
Yeah, you can't eat it on the run.
I think Bob would swirl the chili with his finger for his son. Oh, God. Put it all in there.
Good to be alive, son.
We always start the dream meal with still or sparkling water.
Still. I'm going still.
Take a sip right now.
There you go. To prove it.
Yeah. Oh, and that's why. It's perfect. You don't need to mess with perfection.
Yeah.
I like sparkling water. When I was having to train for the Ant-Man movie, and I was on a very restrictive diet, my reward was sparkling water. Oh, God.
Imagine.
That's how horrible that diet was. I was like, oh, all right. I'm going to have some sparkling water now. I've earned it. And, you know, train, work out. So I was having a lot of sparkling water. And I think, you know, they're not all created equally or equal. Like Pellegrino is great.
Yeah.
I would choose that over a Perrier or something, you know.
Straight to the Pellegrino.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was your cheat day.
My cheat day. Yeah. Perrier on the cheat day. It was a softer carbonation.
Uh-huh. And I guess because you were really little for that role, that was less scary if there's less bubbles.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's
a very
restrictive diet if you've got to get down to that size.
It's really hard. I mean, too much carbonation, I would have exploded at that size. One bubble would take me out.
Did it feel like a treat? Like, genuinely, in your head, was it a treat by that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. I wasn't flavored. I wasn't going to go crazy.
Sure.
It was a treat.
And did you have to do that for every Ant-Man movie? Or just the first one?
Yeah, I kind of did it for all of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did it get easier each time?
Once you're in it, it's actually not too hard. Mm-hmm. And I think you guys can guess that I'm okay with having really boring food every time over and over again, because I would eat kind of this very similar things. But it wasn't too hard. And then, you know, like, you know, get into it and get into the groove of it. And it's feel good. I like waking up with tons of energy. It's the strangest sensation. Mm-hmm. That was new.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah.
When you do something like an Endgame or Infinity War, is there, everyone's on that? I mean, everyone's got to be on like strict diets and doing them. Do you compare notes?
I don't know. I mean, I think people kind of are.
Uh-huh.
But I think I worked out harder than everyone. I would eat better than everyone, and I'd look worse than all of them. I have to work out all the time, eat perfectly, just to look kind of bad, like bad. Not even like, you know.
Was everyone snapping at each other though?
No.
Is everyone hungry? Like everyone's just.
No, I don't think. I mean, I think that they were. They. I don't know. I remember on Endgame, just that Chris Hemsworth would always have these kind of Tupperware containers, and he's eating this gruel of just a mash of stuff, and then he's working out, and then. You know, and you stand next to a guy like that, he's eating all, and I just think, well, what's the point of any of this? Really? It's like, why am I killing myself when it's like that can exist?
Yeah.
And then I'd look at what I'm doing, and I'm like, and then this exists. Like, it's just like I can never achieve that.
Also, you're in a full like suit most of the time and tiny
helmet.
You're like, well, that was the good thing is that I guess like Ant-Man, not, you know, it isn't Thor.
Yeah.
But I tried to work out like and didn't work.
Question about Endgame.
Okay.
There's one bit in the edit in the final battle where you're in the car sorting out your car, but it cuts back to the big battle and giant Ant-Man is there fighting.
Right.
Explain it.
Sorry, Paul.
No, basically, no, no. It's a quantum realm. There's lots of, you know, there are parallel universes. There's different things happening. I know that there are people that are so fascinated by this kind of thing that they're listening to every word right now.
Yeah,
I think it's just a huge mistake, isn't it? Did the editors not catch it? I mean, they work on it, so
yeah.
I'm sure there's a justification that, and they'll come up with one if they haven't already.
Do you
already.
Think they will? Or will they correct it in a re-release?
Like, or do you think they've even noticed?
Oh, I mean, the internet has noticed so much that surely they've right. noticed.
They kind of know everything.
They must know.
Yeah,
what's happening now? Because you and James are working together at the moment. Mm-hmm. And obviously these are the questions he's never going to ask you when you're just working. So now we're in a recorded
all right.
podcast
now
atmosphere.
We're on. Now, it's, yeah,
now you're getting all of the stuff that he wants to say to you all day long.
Actually, I think straight out the gate, I was asking these sorts of questions, wasn't I? I think day one, I was going, you own a sweet shop, Paul.
Yeah.
Just straight. And I was like, I'm not going to pretend to Paul that I don't know about his life. Paul's famous enough. I know you own a sweet shop. I'm going to say it day one.
Yeah. I'm glad you did. Because it gave me an opportunity to talk about myself.
Yeah.
And I'll grab that any chance I can get. No, but that's the fun, isn't it? We were sitting actually around, we were working on Ghostbusters, and then and Dan Aykroyd was there. And it's like getting to, you know, hear him talk about, how did the Blues Brothers start? And yeah, it was pretty cool.
Pop it up, or bread. Pop it up, or bread. Pull that. Pop it up, or bread.
Bread. Bread.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, it's perfect. It's a great thing. Mm-hmm. When that bread is hot, they bring it out.
Yeah.
Like all kinds of bread.
I was going to say, is there a specific type that you like?
Bagel with cream cheese. That's bread.
Yeah?
Yeah?
That's perfect.
If you want to start your meal with a bagel with cream cheese, you can do that.
There's no rules here, is
there's
there?
There's no rules. It's the dream restaurant.
Also, I'm finding the cream cheese thing quite interesting with the sauce talk.
Are you?
I think that's like big mayonnaise.
It's got a thicker consistency.
Yeah.
It seems as if cream cheese would be something that I would hate.
Yeah.
Like cottage cheese. I'm not a cottage cheese. Yeah. That's...
No. Well, who is? Ugh. And if you are, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. You got to really sit and think hard about what's important to you if you're eating cottage cheese. cream cheese I've always loved. Again, there's no real consistency here.
Yeah, yeah.
But I care about consistency. I guess that's why I like cream cheese over cottage cheese.
Are you having a sesame bagel with the cream cheese?
I like an everything bagel with cream cheese. Mm-hmm. That's great. I love a sesame bagel. I like a poppy seed bagel. I don't care if they're in my teeth after.
Yeah.
I like it all.
Now, New York, obviously, where you live, loads of great bagel places.
Yeah.
Spoiled for choice, maybe?
Yeah, there are a lot of really, really great ones. But I mean, even you can go and there's a place around the corner from where I live that does, they have incredible bagels. I don't even remember the name of the place. It's just like a little deli kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then there's a place across the street that makes they opened after the pandemic and it's croissants and they do an everything croissant.
Oh my God.
But they're croissants and they'll do a raspberry filled or a chocolate. They're the best I've ever had. They're incredible.
So now... I mean, what if for the bread course?
What's the choice?
But by the way,
could have a croissant.
Oh no! I would choose the bagel over there. But I also like if I'm at a restaurant, they bring out that hot basket, the basket of bread, and you pour the olive oil in the dish, put a little salt in the olive oil, and sop up, you know, like sourdough or something. That's come on. That's I don't even need a meal. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a short podcast.
That's it. That's my answer to everything.
Olive oil, salt, bread.
Main sourdough bread. Side bagel.
Well, so what bread course do you want then?
We do a little basket. Can we do a little basket?
So a little basket's got sourdough, bagel.
Bagel with cream cheese.
With cream cheese.
Or like one of those pretzel breads. Have you ever seen those?
Sure.
Those are good.
You like the pretzel breads?
Yeah. I like, you know, there's, I think one of the great joys is when they put down the basket and then you take like one of the little rolls or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe one of those rolls has like some of that powdered white whatever on the top of it, enough to get on your fingers, you know. And when you open it up and it's hot, like you weren't expecting the heat.
Yeah.
And then you could put the butter on. It starts to melt. Like that's my bread.
That's your bread.
That's what I'm choosing. That
you want powdered roll that you're not expecting to be hot.
It doesn't have to be powdered. It could be like a sourdough kind of roll. But when it's hot and you weren't expecting it,
yeah,
That's...
I tell you when that feeling is increased by 10, when you're on a plane and they bring you a bread roll and it's hot.
Yeah.
And you're double not expecting it to be hot on a plane, are you? Yeah,
no.
It blows my mind.
God, what airline are you flying?
Well, I can't possibly say.
That is, I can only imagine.
It happens now and again, right? Yeah. Benito knows.
Well, see, Ed has just got back from Australia and New Zealand. Ed, I can't remember. Now you're saying it, I'm like, I don't think that's ever happened to me on a flight, but I can't remember. But clearly it's happened to you very recently.
Yeah.
So it's you've got it in your head as like, well, oh yeah, this is great when this happens.
They come around then.
Yeah.
And they offer that and it's hot and you are psyched.
Yeah.
When they come around and say, more bread, do you go for more bread?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Always more bread. Also, never say no on a travel day. That's my rule.
That's, it's a standard thing, isn't it? It's like, I'm on a plane, I can eat. Yeah, I'll go for it.
I'm in the sky, I'm not on the earth.
I'll take three rolls and I'm going to order the ravioli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever think I'm going to go with the vegetarian choice on an airplane versus the meat?
Yes.
Sometimes, because when it's like chicken, you're like, there's no way they're getting this right.
Right.
So you may as well go with the...
I'd pretty much always go with the veggie option.
Do you?
Yeah, now, because I used to get so frustrated with the meat option. And most of the time, you're sitting near someone who had the veggie option, I'd see it and go, oh, I should have.
Mm.
They've clearly got that right. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I should have done that. So now I do that and feel really smug that I did it and I thought of it in advance. I feel very proud of myself.
I've noticed it recently. I've been ordering the pasta more and more because I used to be like, oh, good, beef tenderloin.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's
not tender.
You don't want to think about it too hard. You know?
They don't ever go, how do you want that cooked?
Yeah. And how would you like that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not going to happen. I met someone recently who was, I can't remember the full story.
Going to need to hear that now.
Well, it's someone who has
that's the story. He just met someone recently.
Someone has the worst steak ever. And they were telling me about it, but they listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
And they were saying that their dream. It might have just been like a listener who came up to me and said they listened to it. And I think I said like dream main course to them. And they were like, yeah, like a well done steak. I was like, fuck off. Never listen to the podcast ever again. Your dream starter, Paul.
Caesar salad. Very traditional.
Yeah.
Nothing too fancy there. But I think I will always go for a Caesar salad if it's there. And I love it.
This could be the first time. We've had this?
I think it might be. Huge respect for it as well, because I love a Caesar salad.
Oh. They're, you know, they're not all Caesars are created equal.
No. That's from Shakespeare, isn't it?
That is, yeah. That was a Coriolanus. That was, yeah. And so I think that if you get that mixture just right, or they do the table sign where they'll come over and they'll make it, then I get
that's nice.
Yeah, that's a nice thing.
So is there a specific place that does that? That would be like,
I don't know. I don't go to that place. I've heard it happens at places now and again.
Other people have.
Yeah.
Ed's told you about it.
Yeah.
Well, on his flight that he went on. Somebody came and did that.
You know, there's not a lot of room for them to do it, but actually, it's really worth it.
The other, like another starter where they do come over that I love, which I think, just the guacamole and chips.
Mm.
And then they do the tableside guacamole where they'll make that.
Yeah.
That's good.
That might give a Caesar salad a run for its money, actually.
Oh, really?
So it's the table side element that you're enjoying here.
I don't care what it is, as long as you're making it next to me.
We can do that with all the courses. This is the dream restaurant. So they're baking this bread next to you, obviously.
It's just I like to know where, I like to know how it's prepared because I've seen some of those kitchens.
Yeah.
Especially on the airplanes. Guacamole is also something discovered late in life. Avocados in general. I mean, that seemed... You know, when I was little, nobody was talking about avocados. I didn't even think it was...
Yeah.
I didn't even know what one really looked like.
Yeah, sure.
And then all of a sudden, there were avocados.
Yeah.
And people were talking about avocados. And I like salsa, and I would always have salsa with the chips.
Uh-huh.
That's for you, Aisling. And but then all of a sudden, guacamole kind of entered the picture.
Yeah.
And it's one of the great joys in my life, I'd say.
Yeah.
At this point.
But again, all guacamoles are not created equal.
No, they're not.
You can get some terrible guacamoles.
You get some horrible ones. Yeah. I don't like it when it's sour creamy. That's, by the way, that's another one I don't like. I'm not, I don't want to deal with sour cream.
No.
Yeah.
This love of cream cheese is really seeming odder and odder now.
I know. It's the outlier.
Yeah.
Because, sour cream, again, don't really know. Like mayonnaise, what it is.
Yeah.
It's got the word sour in it.
Clue is in the name of sour cream. But like,
I don't know. But that's just it. I like cream. I like sour things. Yeah. But I don't. There's something else.
Yeah.
There's Thousand Island in it.
Yeah.
You're right. I probably could have really deconstructed that and figured out the ingredients. But some guacamoles, they make it with that, and it's like, ugh.
Do you like a chunky guac? Or a smooth guac?
That was literally my next question.
Yeah. No, I like a chunky guac.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's less like sauce.
That's it. By the way, I'll go for a smooth guac too, but a chunky is like, I like chunky peanut butter. I like chunky stuff.
Have you ever seen the guac that comes in the squeezy bottles?
Oh, that's like toothpaste?
Ugh. You can just do like little strips of guac.
Don't know.
Don't treat it like a ketchup.
Mm-mm. Some people don't like have a real aversion to...
Just like sprinkling that on the top of
the
food.
Grease. And they put it in a guacamole and...
It tastes like soap to some people.
Yeah. I have a real strong aversion. Mm. I don't mind it, but yeah, my wife hates it.
Yeah, I think it's a genetic thing.
Yeah.
It's a genuine genetic thing where like some people taste like soap and they just can't get over that. It's like how some people can smell asparagus in their pee and some people can't.
Yeah.
I thought everyone could.
No.
I smell it enough for everyone.
Yeah, so you smell it, but I don't.
Do you not?
I think everyone smells the asparagus in your pee.
No.
He can't smell the asparagus in my pee.
No, I'm not talking about mine. I think we all smell it in yours.
Is this what people have been whispering about on the set? I'm wondering.
Yeah, well, also ginger. I think my wife has a bit of a super taster kind of thing. And she's like, it tastes like Lemon Pledge to her. It tastes like cleaning solution.
Your wife says that about everything, though, doesn't she?
Yeah. Well, she's, and to be fair, she hates eating Lemon Pledge.
So you go for the Caesar salad over the tableside guac?
I want to talk more about Caesar salads, though.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things that can go wrong. Yeah. There's a lot of elements. What's in your dream Caesar salad?
Can I ask one more guac question before we move on?
Please.
Do you think you like avocados because they're the opposite to you, because they age really quickly?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's the polar opposite. It's the Dorian Gray is it a vegetable? Is it fruit? There's a seed. Yeah.
I think it's a pear, right?
It's a pear.
It's a pear. You have an avocado in the attic.
Yeah.
It's aging really badly.
Just a shriveled up brown avocado.
Now everyone knows.
Again, that would be a great remake of that film.
Sorry, back to the Caesar salad.
I mean, do you even put an avocado in the Caesar salad? I'd eat it.
I'd eat that for sure.
Unlike, a chili dog where it's like, make up your mind, I'd go for guacamole in my Caesar.
Yeah?
I don't care. I like them both
We can do that for you. This is your dream meal.
No, actually, it sounds gross.
good to be alive.
What's going in the Caesar salad?
That's right. I mean, I like it pretty basic. I don't... love it when they put anchovies on top.
Mm-hmm. But they're in the dressing anyway.
And
right?
It's fine. Some make it with raw eggs. Others do not because of like my mom doesn't. She doesn't make it, never made it with raw eggs. I don't think. I like a Caesar salad that isn't too fishy tasting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like a lot of cheese on it. I don't want there to be a lot of croutons, but I can go with a few croutons. I like it's a classic.
And do you want like a soft boiled egg on there as well?
No.
No?
No.
That doesn't sound classic to me.
Crispy bacon?
See, they do them differently here. I could do with crispy bacon on it, yeah. But I don't really get any accoutrement on it. But
you a don't soft want to be
egg.
Too busy.
I love eggs, but I've never been a fan of egg in a salad.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at me like.
No, I'm interested because I just think you like your simple things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want it too busy. You don't want it.
No.
Like,
no.
I understand the egg thing. Like, I like an egg.
My favorite color as a kid was brown. So it just really tells you a little bit of, like, I like simple and not obvious choices.
But brown's a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Brown's everything mixed together. That's the opposite of your...
But it's no kid's favorite color, is it?
Yeah,
that's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah.
That's great.
No, I loved brown.
What's your favorite color, Paul?
Brown. Brown. And I think it might have been that it was no one's favorite color.
That's good. That's
cool. I felt bad for brown.
But
I also liked brown.
I thought you were saying you're like a rebellious kid, so you're like, brown,
yeah,
fuck
know
you.
What? Yeah.
But it's because you felt bad for brown.
I'll tell you one thing, it was never blue. Everyone loved blue.
Yeah.
Everyone's
yeah.
like, you always gets, you
I was
know.
Blue.
I like blue. Everyone was blue. So I'm like, I'm not, blue's fine.
Yeah.
I like blue, okay. But I like brown. And then it's like, and green's okay. I kind of like green. And then for a while, it was like, green's great. I really like green.
You can tell brown's not green. A popular kid green. Color because there wasn't a turtle who had a brown mask and there wasn't a brown Power Ranger.
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've always been fairly simple. I'll go with brown.
It sounds delicious. I'll go with Caesar salad.
Yeah, yeah.
How many croutons exactly do you want on this Caesar salad?
Hmm.
And what size?
Exactly how many?
Exactly how many? Yeah.
And how big are they?
I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's interesting. Sometimes they get the really small ones, mm-hmm. but then you think, were those in a bag? And yeah. then you get the ones that are thick, kind of like, oh, this might have been part, they made this. I like those.
Yeah.
And when they're big like that, I don't want to have too many, but I don't want to have too few. Just right. It's like the fairy,
Goldilocks,
three little pigs.
So imagine being a waiter and you're at the table and they're making the Caesar salad table side and you're going, and I want as many croutons as you think is just right.
Yeah. I'll leave this one up to the chef.
The guy's panicking so much. Oh, God.
Three little pigs blew the house in. I think I got my fairy tales mixed up.
Three bears you were thinking of. Goldilocks, yeah,
Goldilocks
and the three bears.
And the three,
yeah.
bears.
Three little pigs. Yeah. Nothing was just right.
I was out late last night.
So, classic hangover symptom.
Yeah.
Oh, one other person has picked a Caesar salad.
Yeah.
On the podcast. Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd.
That is it.
Yeah, but
that
to be fair,
one other person.
Dan Aykroyd picked everything.
Yeah, we wouldn't remember what Dan picked because he went for 1,000 miles an hour. But like,
but he named Caesar salad.
So you can go into work this week and bring it up to Dan and go,
I'm gonna. It's a yeah.
Don't say like, you talked about it on the Off Menu podcast because I'm assured he has absolutely no memory of recording it whatsoever. So.
Yes, he doesn't. He doesn't know what that is.
Yeah,
but
part of it. Well, here we go. I love Dan Aykroyd and. When I see him tomorrow, perhaps, I'm going to say, you and me, pal, Caesar salads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So your dream main course?
My dream main course would be, and it's my mom's, roast beef Yorkshire pudding and roast potatoes, the Sunday roast.
We're going back to your English roots.
It's my favorite. It's, if I was on death row, that's what I'm ordering.
Pretty sad.
This
is a very sad day for your mom.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm ordering. Unless, would mean I'm on death row at a fairly young age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your mom's got to make your last meal.
She's got to, heavy. Yeah, that's it. It's like, mom, could you just, I know I asked you to do everything. Could you just make me the roast Yorkshire pudding? Yeah, that's
she puts a key in everything.
Yeah,
he's eating it. It's too late, mom. They're watching. I can't get out. There's no way.
They check the beef.
Yeah. Full loaded gun in the beef.
Yeah, but you can't hide it in the Yorkshire. That's everywhere. Yeah, you know, that's too obvious.
Yeah. So this is something you've had your whole life, I guess.
My whole life
from a little kid.
Yeah, I think. It's just, it reminds me of growing up and, you know, and also growing up in the States, no one knew what Yorkshire pudding was.
Yeah.
Bliss.
Ed. Yeah, you hate Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know this already?
I had heard.
I haven't told.
I heard it on the podcast once you were talking about it, because I think maybe Richard E. Grant or something talking about Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah.
And how do you, it's so, by the way.
They're so bland, man.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's probably why I like them. I don't want to put anything on them. I don't need gravy. I don't use them to soak up anything. I just eat them. So they're brown. They're brown. They're my favorite color.
Posters of them on your wall as a kid.
That's exactly right. Nobody's favorite food is Yorkshire pudding. I'm choosing that one.
The driest, brownest food around.
That's it.
Yeah. Also, it makes people really angry when I say I don't like them. So
yeah, so you really
stick with it. Yeah.
No, that's fun to kind of.
But I think you're in the majority when you love Yorkshire pudding.
Also, you know, it was such a. I didn't realize, you know, no one knew what this was. But then growing up, I thought, oh, nobody here knows what this is. Mm. No one makes it. You can't go to any restaurant and find it. And so whenever I'd come here, and it's like, oh, everyone here knows what this is.
How old were you when you moved to the States?
I was born there. I lived there my whole life. But
I thought you had. Oh, but you're.
No, but I've been coming to London my whole life, and most of my family's here, and I'm the first American in my family, so England and London in particular has always felt very much like home, so mm-hmm. I think that was when I was back in the States and we'd have that, it made me feel connected.
Yeah. How many Yorkshire puddings do you have on the plate?
12.
What size Yorkshire puddings are we thinking? Because obviously you can get those giant ones that cover the whole plate.
Yeah, like a muffin size, like a standard kind of, not too big.
Yeah,
that's another thing I remembered. You say they take up too much real estate on.
Yes, they do. They take up too much real estate on the plate.
Yeah,
and where do you stand on that opinion?
I think that I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
I get it.
Thank you,
but. They're so light, you can rest them on top of something else.
Right, I see. Yeah. So you're almost adding an extra floor to the to the meal, right?
Yeah. You know, there's a game called Triopoly that is a three-level Monopoly game that you can play Monopoly. It's great. Monopoly, great game.
I immediately want to play it.
Yeah. You land on a square, you go up a level, and it's three boards stacked, and the second board is smaller, so it doesn't cover the... you know, properties on the lower board. Yeah. And then there's a third one on top and you're going up, you're three levels of Monopoly. That's how I like my Sunday roast. I want roast potatoes on top of my roast beef. And then I want Yorkshire pudding on the top to crown. I like it. I want it to,
How are you eating that then? Because do you go down layer by layer or are you cutting away at the side sort of like Jenga?
And also, additional question, which property is each element of the food? Which bit of food is Old Kent Road? Which bit of the food is Park Lane?
Version of Monopoly are you playing for a start?
God, I forgot. You guys don't know the English Monopoly. Kent Road, is that a place where you get your potatoes?
You would love Old Kent Road. It's brown on the board. On the board, it's the brown color.
Okay.
What's on American Monopoly then?
All right, so it's all kind of Atlantic City, and it's, you know, Ventnor Avenue, and the two prime ones are Park Place and Boardwalk. By the way, though, that's everyone say, "Oh, I want to get that," but it's the most expensive, and it's right by Go. But no one ever gets there. You got to focus on the medium properties. Where's Old Kent Road on the board?
That's like early doors. That's like the cheapest.
Oh, it's the cheapest.
Yeah,
it's like right, like almost right out of Go.
Yeah.
You don't need Old Kent Road. Like you can go past that and get the properties right. Look, if I land there, I'm gonna buy it if it's available and I got the cash.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna move forward and try and get the light blue spaces.
The blues and the oranges are.
Yeah. I'm assuming, I don't know if the colors are the same, but
it feels like the colors should be the same.
How many people do you think we've lost up to now talking about?
I think people have joined with it.
Good riddance to them.
Yeah.
Anyone who doesn't like this,
fast forwarded to this bit.
Yeah. It's like, forget about all the sauces. I want to hear his whole Monopoly spiel.
The Monopoly man's listening. He's losing
it. UK versus US Monopoly. What are the differences?
And you still have Chance and Community Chest?
Yes.
Yeah.
Still have those. Yeah, absolutely.
I had a friend, we went through a whole kind of Monopoly phase, and whenever he would land on Community Chest, he would always just say, Mutity Chest. And it would always make me laugh. And so now to this day, whenever I can't even say Community Chest, I just want to go, Mutity Chest.
I like that friend.
Yeah. It wasn't Walt, was it?
It wasn't Walt.
No, it was Bo. It was my friend Bo.
Yeah.
One of the funniest guys.
I think a Monopoly board is too much like a paper plate. He wouldn't be able to play.
Yeah, oh, imagine.
He would look down. Yeah.
And then he'd say, like, look at Kentucky Avenue. It's red. And look at Marvin Gardens. It's yellow. Imagine Kentucky Avenue and Marvin Gardens swirled together on a hot day playing Monopoly.
Yeah, oh, you puked on the muted chest.
Game over.
Muted chest.
So, yeah, let's layer this up.
Okay. Well, I like a lot of stuff on the plate. I mean, you can't have too much because then it gets hard to cut into the meat and all of that. I'm going into the meat first and then I'll usually save. I eat things together. You know, some people go like, oh, I finish all the potatoes and then I move on to, and they eat their dinner in kind of phases. And that is weird to me.
Sure.
I'm going to just try and, if it's stacked, go into whatever is going to, like Jenga, keep the thing balanced. Yeah. I don't know what it'll be.
But so, but you are getting a bit of Yorkshire pudding. You're not leaving the Yorkshire puddings, or you're not eating all of them first because of the top layer. You're trying to get a bit of everything.
Bit of everything. I'll try and space it out. Yeah. You know, I don't want to go. It's like not, it's, you know, Christmas morning. I'm not going to go and open the biggest present first. I want to, like, I got to pace yourself, spread it out, and make this last longer.
It's very restrained of you.
It's the way I deal with my food. Restraint.
So you got beef Yorkshire puddings. What else is on this plate?
Some kind of vegetable, I would say. I mean, I like peas and I like broccoli a lot. I love Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
Another thing that came around to me late in life.
Yeah.
Green beans. I don't even, asparagus. It doesn't even matter. I'd like a lot of vegetables.
Not a page.
You got to watch out for that asparagus though, because you start smelling James's piss.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And that's that's it. In fact, if I eat it, I'll go back. Hey, geez, smells like James in here.
It does sound delicious.
Yeah,
and stacking. Nice. Thank you so much for stacking the Yorkshires on top, so they don't take up any real estate on the plate.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I understand. It could be construed as wasted space. It's just really air.
Yeah.
And you're having air take up a third of your plate.
Yeah.
But now you've said that. See, for too long, he's on this podcast, has said that real estate thing to people and they've got no comeback. And they go, well, you can put stuff in the Yorkshires. And he's like, no, no, no. But no one's gone, oh, you can put the Yorkshire on something. So
put it
now,
on top.
Yeah.
It's not going to weight it down.
No.
Yeah.
And then you can always just like take it off and put it like just even on the table. And I said, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Put it in the bin.
Yeah. You put it in the bin.
Your dream side dish. So you got this big plate of roast dinner here.
Okay, here we go. Because there's roast potatoes on the plate, but a side of fries, a side of chips, the thick cut, truly like great chips.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what I'm going with.
Golden crispy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And obviously we know how you like them.
Dry as the desert.
That's exactly right. I don't want to soil them with any sort of saucy nonsense.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But put vinegar on. Like, do you put vinegar on?
Yeah.
On your chips? That's a lot of people. That's
from a fish and chip shop.
In Canada, I'd go, I remember visiting my cousins and they're like, oh, you gotta put vinegar on your chips. When I was little, I was like, what? What? And it's like, yeah, everybody does that. In Canada, everybody puts vinegar on their chips.
From a chip shop.
Yeah, from
a fish and chip shop.
Yeah.
I'm going salt and vinegar every time, and I'm really going heavy on the vinegar, and I love it.
Yeah, by the way, I can handle that. I like that. I like vinegar on the chip. That's that I can, that I can rock with that.
But not on fries or anything like that. Specifically from a fish and chip shop.
Yeah. Or like if I'm at a pub and I get the fish and chips at a pub, I'll do it.
Fish and chip.
By the way, fish and chips from a pub, that is one of the great all-time meals.
Oh, yeah.
Ever. Yeah. Yeah.
Your main courses seem to be very English based.
Yeah. Well, here, you know, I was thinking, I love the idea of, margarita and chips and guacamole, and I love Mexican food, or I love sushi, and I love Italian food. I think, these ideas of, being outside and having a nice, light, just great meal. And I think I'm more about dark, cold and indoors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that brown.
Yeah.
Brown.
It's very brown.
It's brown. Yeah, like I wanna sit and have it like a potato and leek soup. And then that's good stuff. And then some kind of pub food and that's
Because pubs are quite brown a lot of the time as well.
Oh, yeah. Right?
That's like
right.
Traditional
pubs. Browner
than
a pub.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Well, wait till you hear what drink I want.
We didn't talk about gravy. That didn't even come up, especially with all the sauce situation.
All the brown
with the main. Are you smothering this Jenga in gravy?
Yeah, I like gravy. I don't have to smother it, though.
Okay.
Too much gravy, I think, gets in the way. It makes everything a little too chili dog. It makes it a little too messy.
Sure.
And so I don't need to go crazy with the gravy.
And would you be dipping these side chips in the gravy at any
Come
point?
On, or don't are ask you not? Surely you know the answer.
What do you think? I'm a Philistine? I don't need to do that at all. I mean, I could. Mm-hmm. I might, sweep it on the plate.
Yeah.
But I don't need that. I put salt on it, though.
You've already got the potatoes on the plate, right? So you've got that sort of starch with the gravy.
Yeah.
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 All right. It's just good to cover all these bases.
The streams.
For, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Staying on brand.
Yes.
Whatever film Paul's doing.
That's it. That's I can only think that way. It's a little bit like I'm very much like Daniel Day-Lewis that way.
He's very nice.
Yeah. I can't shake it.
On set, we have to call him Gruberson.
That's exactly
Gary
right.
Gruberson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, he doesn't respond.
And then showing up 6 months before shooting, whittling a proton pack.
I'm trying to think if there's any funny on-set stories about Paul, but there's not really. He's just a nice guy.
Yeah. No one needs to hear that.
As bland as the food that
yeah.
I eat.
How's Paul Rudd? He's a nice, normal guy.
He's like, he's like dry white toast.
Yeah. So your dream drink, is it brown?
It would be brown, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be a pint of Guinness.
Ah, very deep brown.
Yeah.
The deepest of brown.
I mean, yeah, you're right, because it looks black in the glass, but then if you really look, that's brown.
Yeah.
Almost red brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. It's the nectar of the gods.
Yeah. Huge respect for this. Fantastic.
This was in the extreme menu.
It was instead of water, though. I didn't have it as my dream drink.
Yes.
I had it instead of the water.
So he didn't choose still sparkling. He chose a pint of Guinness.
Yeah. Over still sparkling.
I think it's more hydrating than water.
It's good for you.
It is good for you. But people drink it after marathons because it's got so many great nutrients.
You know, after childbirth, when my wife gave birth to our first child,
you had a pint of Guinness.
I had a pint of Guinness, and I felt great. I felt like I ran a marathon. It's funny you should say. Yeah, I gave her a pint of Guinness. She had a pint of Guinness, and my mom did the same thing. She gave her a pint of Guinness. She was smashed. I was like, "Hun, come on, we've got a baby. You got to take care of it." She's like, "Woo!" I can't, babe.
Just a queue of people out the door.
Yeah, yeah, this is, yeah. Ever just driving. Yeah. Is this who's the lady that likes Guinness?
Do you want the shamrock in the top of the Guinness?
I don't need any of that touristy garbage.
Yeah,
no,
quite right.
No, but it needs to be poured properly because people don't know how to pour Guinness.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a real way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something that if you're in a pub and you see somebody pouring a Guinness. And they have to, you know, you take it up, you leave a little bit of space, and then you let it rest for, I believe the optimum time is a minute, 19 and a half seconds.
Wow.
I think there really is an optimum time.
Yeah.
And then instead of pulling the tap, you push the tap forward to finish it off.
Mm-hmm.
Something about nitrogen release and that kind of thing. And that's the way you do it.
Wow.
And people don't know that. So, I mean, a lot of people, like you could see people pouring Guinnesses in bars and you just think, this.
Yeah, they're doing it all in one, and
doing
it's all
one,
foamy,
and you're like,
all
come on,
hot. Yeah,
come
you
on.
Don't know until it's too late. You've ordered the Guinness.
Yeah.
Are you ever there with your head in your hands? Oh, fuck this!
I'm like, I'm gonna have to grin and bear it. I'm gonna drink it. I'm not gonna send it back because that doesn't seem agreeable.
No.
Yeah,
you're right. You can't send it back.
It would be. I mean, if you say I need you to pour me a new one, you didn't pour that right. I can't think of I would feel like. I mean, I would never do that. Because I would feel like it's just a huge jerk. But if somebody that was next to me said, "You got to pour me, you didn't pour right," I would say, "That guy's my hero."
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah.
There are people who do that.
Yeah.
But I would say that is off limits to you now. You can't do it.
No, because, I can't. No, absolutely.
Then Paul Rudd told me to pour the
Guinness. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, it's
it's one of the downsides of fame, I guess.
It's probably the biggest downside of fame. I can't ask people to pour me a Guinness the right way.
Yeah.
Just have to put up with it.
Thankfully, I'm getting them free now anyway because I'm just famous.
I would, I would respect the guy who did it, who made them pour it again. But then I would keep quiet about that and I would catch eyes with the member of bar staff who may do it.
Yeah,
and I'd go like,
roll the eyes. Be like, what a twat.
What a douche, right?
Yeah. And I would feel bad for the bartender.
Sure.
Yeah.
I feel bad for here's the thing. I feel bad for everybody involved.
Yeah.
It's a real situation that we've got on our hands.
Do you have, because people are obsessed with specific places being good for a pint of Guinness.
There are some pubs that are really, they pour a really good pint. It's an interesting thing that I learned because people, when the States, if they're going over to Ireland, they say, oh, you have to have the Guinness there. Mm. It's better there. They make it differently. And that's not true. They don't make it differently. In fact, the Guinness that you're drinking in the States or anywhere else, it was made there. But it's been sent over in kegs. And when you're drinking it, even though it's totally fine, chances are it was made 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. And when you're in Ireland, chances are it was made 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And so that's why it tastes so good.
Yeah. And like, I mean, is that what you'd like for your dream meal? Is
I'd like to be drinking. Ireland. I am in Ireland drinking it. Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Guinness, the first ever Guinness I had in Dublin was just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is completely different to anything I've had.
They look after the taps and the lines and all of that. They have, like, Guinness inspectors.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a really serious business, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, cleaning the lines and doing all of that and doing it the right way. But, yeah, people going in and checking.
I love it.
Well, there's also the brewmaster. I one time, years ago, met the brewmaster at the Guinness storehouse in Dublin, and he said sometimes he's been in pubs and the bartenders will get really nervous. They know who he is. It's like having a food critic show up.
Yeah.
And they're really making sure they're pouring it properly. And it's they're stressed out. It's a real thing to go over and have all of that stuff inspected and checked out.
Yeah.
You met the brewmaster. Yeah, were you nervous to meet the brewmaster?
I was not nervous, but I was excited. Yeah. And he's the one that told me about the minute and 19 and a half seconds. And I poured one with him and he gave me a certificate that says I know how to pour properly. I think they give it to everybody that shows up, but it didn't matter. I felt like a cool kid in school.
You didn't get the certificate. You didn't pour it properly. Imagine that.
Yeah,
the brewmaster.
Yeah, sorry, you failed.
Yep. No certificate for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got to earn it. We take it seriously around here. See you later. You come back again.
You got to wait 3 months before.
Yeah, once you go,
still just got your provisional license.
Yeah, you've got to go and do a theory test.
Yeah,
where there's like a video of someone pouring Guinness, and you have to hit the screen when they do something wrong.
That's right. No, you got to. It's a 6 month course, and you really do. Yeah, it's grueling, and once you fail once, it's back to the end of the line.
And how was that Guinness that you poured yourself with the brewmaster present under that supervision?
It was perfect.
So you want that exact Guinness for your? You want the brewmaster supervised?
I'd like the brewmaster to pour me one.
Yeah,
of
course. Yeah, that brewmaster will pour you up a lovely Guinness.
Yeah,
that's what they say.
If you were offered to play the brewmaster in a film, would you do that?
I don't think I'd get cast in that part. No. I think they'd have to go Irish, because they take it so seriously.
Uh huh.
But they said, you can do the accent?
Yeah.
I'd say, right. And I'd say, okay, 1, 2, 3. Yes, I'll take it. I'll do the part.
That's great.
Yeah. I'd love to do it. And then I would go there and really do a lot of research.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's certainly nice to know how quickly you take the part, though.
Yeah.
Because James gave no other details. It was just like, we'd like you to play the brewmaster in a film.
Yeah.
And you've gone.
Yeah. Yes. when do you guys start shooting, by the way?
Yeah, it's pretty soon.
Who else is in it?
Ashton B, obviously.
Of course.
Yeah. And all the Gleasons are in it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
All of the Gleasons.
Donald, Brendan, Jackie.
Yeah. They're all in it.
They're all in it.
And
everyone else is Irish.
Joanna. Everyone else is Irish. Yeah.
And it's about, and I'm sure you're aware of this. I'm sure you're aware of the history of it all. But it's about the killing spree that the brewmaster went on.
It's fun. It's really kind of checks a lot of boxes. It's like I get to do an Irish accent. I get to be a killer.
Yeah.
He would take people to the brink of death, and then he'd wait 1 minute 19 seconds, and then he'd finish them off.
Yeah, and then he would actually take the knife and push it forward once it was buried in their chest, and not back to let the gases from the heart expel in the right way. And he took it really seriously.
Yeah.
He wonders why people get nervous when he's around. You're fucking murdering him.
Yeah. It's nothing to do with like getting the pouring right.
Yeah,
now. Yeah.
That's scared for their lives. We come to your dessert now, which I'm excited about. As you said earlier, one of the first things I spoke to you about was that you owned a sweet shop.
I'm glad we're coming back to this because I don't think I knew this about the sweet shop, Paul.
Yeah. Guess who Paul owns the sweet shop with? It's another actor.
I'm never going to guess.
Guess. Three guesses.
Three guesses, three names.
Yeah, the person has three names.
Oh, I'm struggling now.
This is great.
It's Daniel Day-Lewis.
The best guessing game we've ever done.
This is a good guessing game.
Ed's got to do it.
Yeah. Do I have any other questions available to me?
Yeah, yeah, ask me.
Can I narrow down gender? A man?
Yes.
Okay. Because all I had was Chloe Grace Moretz. It's the only name I had in my head.
She didn't want anything to do with the business.
Fair enough.
We went to her first.
Because you knew you wanted to open a sweet shop with someone with three names.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only requirement.
Oh, it's amazing how blank your head goes when you've got to think of someone with three names.
We'll just think of another question.
So we have man.
Man.
It's not enough. It's not enough.
Yeah, man and three names.
And you're pre-named, a three-named man.
A three-named man.
Here we go.
Have you been in a film with him?
Yes, but that's not going to be a giveaway because it was just a brief, a movie no one saw, and he was in it for like 10 seconds.
Right. Are they older or younger than you?
Older.
Okay.
That won't help you either.
No, it's not helped at all. I don't even know how old Paul is, famously.
No one does. 73, by the way.
Are they American?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, that's not helped either, really. I assume they were American to start with. Have they won an Oscar?
No.
Okay, no.
What?
His question's bad.
Yeah, well, what questions would you ask?
I know what questions I'd ask. I know who it is, so I know how to get to it real quick.
Go ahead, James. Ask me some questions.
Are they mainly known for TV, would you say?
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
That's quick.
Were they on The Walking Dead?
Yes, they were.
Oh. Did they have a baseball bat?
Yeah.
The Walking Dead?
Yep.
Right.
Oh, okay. I didn't watch The Walking Dead, did I?
Wow.
I think even if you had, I don't know if you would have come
back. He's obsessed with The Walking Dead, so that's why he's so excited to do this guessing game.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. We own a candy store together.
That's amazing. What's the name of the candy store?
Samuel's Sweet Shop. It's in the town of Rhinebeck, New York. And it was originally owned by a guy named Ira, and Samuel was his uncle, whom he loved. And he had this candy store, and he passed away unexpectedly. And we knew Ira, and we knew this store, and it was like, it's a little tiny town. And we wound up taking over the store to kind of keep it going. And it's really fun to have a candy store.
They make all the candy there and stuff.
No, we don't make the candy there, but we have chocolates and lots of and kind of baked like pastries and things that local people make.
Oh, nice.
And then there's a lot of kind of old-timey candy and things, you know, candy from different parts of the world. And it's not a big place. And then we also serve coffee.
So have you got a proper sweet tooth? Or
Yeah, I really do. I mean, I love candy. That's one thing I've always been pretty passionate about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like candy that is made for little kids. I like that stuff.
Quite colorful though, some of that candy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any like at Samuel's Sweet Shop that's your favorite, your go-to when you go in there?
Well, my favorite thing is it is a seasonal candy. Uh-huh. There were these sour Santas, and every Christmas we get them. They look like little gummy bears almost. They're Santas. Uh-huh. Father Christmas, and they're just like a cherry, sour cherry kind of thing. The consistency is perfect, and the taste, it's like, it's incredible. It's my favorite thing ever. And I like it that it's seasonal, that it only comes out at Christmas. Yeah.
So you get excited about it and...
I do.
Yeah.
You
can't have it all year.
No, I would just also eat them all year, and I don't want to be doing that. And then, so there's that. There are also these things that we have called clodhoppers, that are like a chocolate, peanut butter, and pretzel mix.
Yeah, that's for me.
Yeah, yeah, they're insane. They're great. Those are two of my favorite things.
How often are you just dropping into the store to be like, just checking in?
Pretty often. Yeah. I mean, pretty often. it's fun, and it's everyone's in a good mood when they go into a candy store. It's nice, and it's nice to be in there too because people come in and kids will go in and they're just so excited to be in there, and everyone's in a good mood.
You're just in the corner eating everything.
Yeah,
you got to keep Negan away from the fucking. He's bad news.
Yeah.
Negan's walking around with his baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire. I know he's having a fun time in the candy store then. You want to be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's he steer clear.
Yeah.
Sweetheart of a guy, but if he's got that bat in his hands.
Yeah.
I laughed once because he was telling me, I think I told you this, where he would sometimes, if he has to, people want him to sign baseball bats all the time.
Yeah.
And it's at like Comic-Cons and things like that, they always present a baseball bat and it's wrapped in barbed wire. So he has to sign the narrow part of the bat. And his name is Jeffrey Dean Morgan. It's like it's not easy to do 100 times in a row.
So your dream dessert, it's not the Sour Santa. This is
no,
something different.
No.
Did you buy the sweet shop before or after you played Bobby Sweetums?
I think it was after.
Right.
Yeah, it was after, maybe like right after.
Yeah.
Sweetums led to it.
Yeah, sweet. It was right, I know. I mean,
you're still in character. That was the problem.
And you know what's interesting is a movie that I did where I was talking about with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, he's in it briefly, is a movie called They Came Together. With Amy Poehler, and it's kind of satirizes these romantic comedies, and she owns a small sweet shop and I'm coming in to build a big candy conglomerate.
Oh, like wow.
A giant fact, like a super corporate candy store, and we fall in love, she doesn't know that I'm the guy behind the evil candy business. And that was before Sweetums. I can't escape the candy.
Yeah.
But this isn't candy, your dream dessert.
My dream dessert? No.
We could give you a little dish of Sour Santas on the side if you want.
Yeah, mainly because we want them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And some clodhoppers.
Yeah. And some clodhoppers,
please. By the way, I think the clodhoppers would go well, because my dream dessert would be the perfect slice of cheesecake.
Nice.
The perfect slice
perfect
of cheesecake.
Perfect slice of cheesecake, nice. Yeah.
So talk us through how it's perfect.
It's light. The crust is thick and kind of graham crackery, but not too, it's kind of soft, but not too soft. And it's the difference between the crust and the cake itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's the right consistency.
Yeah.
In my mouth.
Yeah.
You're absolutely Goldilocks in this one again.
We've never had an episode where the word consistency has been said so many times by the guest.
It's, well, I'm consistent. Here's the thing. I'm textural.
Yeah.
You know, think this is also part of the whole thing with the ketchup and the sauces.
Yeah.
When I was really little, I used to like cucumbers. I loved cucumbers, but the middle part freaked me out.
Right.
And so I'd have to cut out the seeds and I'd just go for the cumber. The middle part wasn't done. It was too larval stage.
Yeah.
And it wasn't done cooking. And so
you see the middle is the cue and the outside is
cumber.
The
it's all cumber on the outside. And so it's like, oh, I can handle the cumber. In fact, are you going to eat your cumbers? I'll take those. You can have my cue.
Yeah.
And just, in fact, a plate of cue looks disgusting.
Yeah.
It's like the inside of a pumpkin. And then, you know, I got over that. Thankfully, I got over that. And now I can eat the entire cucumber.
Yeah.
Love the cucumber.
Yeah.
I'm down with Q.
Yeah.
That also sounds bad out of context because it makes me think of January 6th. The consistency, the thing of like, you know, it's like oysters or something. I'm not crazy about that. Yeah.
So you want the nice, crispy, but not too crispy base.
Yeah.
And rich.
And a really like a rich, but a good cheesecake. Mm. It can be really high, like in New York, they do great ones.
Mm. Is this a baked cheesecake or like just like cream cheese and stuff and put it in the fridge?
I think it might be that one.
Yeah. Because if it's got the biscuity base.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty creamy again.
And a cheesecake.
Yeah. Mm.
Weird, right? Came to me later in life. I didn't like, I was like, as a kid, I wouldn't go near it just because it's called a cheesecake.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It's like, that sounds, that doesn't even sound like a dessert. That just
crazy.
Sounds, but if I have like a cup of black coffee and a cheesecake.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
We'll definitely give you a black coffee with it for your dream dessert.
Yeah. That was like, it's kind of to have that together is really the problem is if I'm getting a cheesecake, it's usually at a dinner and then I can't go with coffee because if I have coffee after 5, I'm up all night.
Sure.
And that's so it's like, all right, I can do the decaf and I have and I will.
Yeah.
But now a lot of times it's like, oh, I guess I'll take a mint tea.
Mm.
That's not the same, is it?
It's not
the
same.
Cheesecake.
No, it's not. It's really not. And I'll go with the decaf coffee.
Well,
I think
but
if it's a
your
cheesecake.
Dream meal, we can take away the being up all night.
Yeah,
Yeah. I'm a genie.
No, I want a really strong, like a good strong cup of black coffee and a cheesecake.
And I'm guessing, we haven't asked yet, but I'm guessing it's a vanilla cheesecake.
I know it's a standard flavor. Some people put the raspberry coulis and all that stuff on.
Yeah.
I don't want any of that.
Especially as you might get it mixed up with ketchup.
Oh, imagine.
That would be a disaster.
That, by the way, the ultimate nightmare.
Yeah.
Ketchup on a cheesecake.
Oh, good luck.
Jeez. It's going to make me throw up. Oh, like Walt Needner in a second.
We don't want to Walt you.
Full Needner.
Yeah. Yeah, I got like a full Needner. Walt Needner was so funny that I remember one time in college, it was about 3 a.m. We were living in a house. There were lots of like different rooms and stuff. Yeah. There was a bunch of people in. No one was awake or anything. I opened the door to Walt's room and he was just sitting on the floor reading a book. And he looked up at me and his entire face was painted in Gene Simmons kiss makeup. And he had, Walt was like kind of like a little heavy set guy, had glasses. I mean, he looked like his name.
Yeah.
Walt Needner. Yeah. And he was the funniest, acerbic, smartest guy. But he was wearing his kind of giant Roger Ebert sized glasses. And he had a short, kind of like just blonde hair. But he had it also the little sprouted, like, ponytail on top, Gene Simmons, but it was to benefit no one. No one was awake. No one was around. And when I walked in, he just kind of looked up at me, no expression on his face. And I fell to the floor laughing. Like, this is my kind of guy.
Yeah.
Needner. I love Needner.
I love Walt Needner. Get him on the pod as well.
Yeah.
Follow him.
He'd be very entertaining.
Yeah. I'll need to read your menu back to you now. See how you feel about it.
All right.
You'd like still water. Pop on some bread, you would like a unexpectedly hot roll with butter.
Yeah.
Starter, Caesar salad with crispy bacon, maybe not too fussed about that. Not too fishy, and the perfect amount of croutons up to the chef.
Yeah. I love bacon. If it was my dream, I don't need the bacon. I'd go for the straight up Caesar.
Get rid of it. This simple Caesar.
Yeah.
Main course, triopoly of mum's roast beef. So you got your Yorkshire puddings, roast potatoes, green veg, and your gravy. Side dish, thick cut chips. Drink, a pint of Guinness poured by the brewmaster.
Mm-hmm.
And dessert, the perfect slice of cheesecake, a black coffee, and afterwards some sour Santas and clodhoppers.
Can we get this now?
Yeah.
that's a great day right there.
That feels pretty good.
Yeah. It builds in the right way, I'd say.
Oh, good.
It's fresh, and then roast dinner, cheesecake, clodhoppers.
Yeah.
And then it's just like massive burnout at the end.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the Guinness will knock you out. I mean, that's going to be... You're asleep by 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, because you had the Caesar salad and so did Dan Aykroyd, do you want to finish your meal the same way that he did, with a sativa blunt?
Was that his dream dessert?
Yeah.
It was his dream.
It was one of his dream desserts. It's after everything.
After the meal, it was...
Sit around the fire with a sativa blunt.
Yeah. That's, you know what? That gives Sour Santas a run for their money. Although, wouldn't you want that to be your appetizer? Because then a great meal just got even better.
Yeah, and then you go to Munchtown.
Yeah.
Well, again, out of context. It's funny, I was thinking back, and I am thinking back now, of great meals in my life that I have had and places that I've had them. And none of them made this podcast.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, nostalgia wins out, I think, sometimes.
There's just something about, I think, comfort. Mm. Or, you know, I had a Huevos Rancheros in Santa Fe, New Mexico. They do a thing called Christmas. They give you red chilies and green chilies on Christmas. And so I got this Huevos Rancheros Christmas style. And it was the most incredible.
That sounds amazing.
Incredible breakfast I'd ever had.
Wow.
And so it's not on the podcast, but it was so good. I did want to mention it.
Honorable mention. We call them honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Also, anytime Christmas is mentioned, you get excited because it's Sour Santa time.
Sour Santa time.
That's right. Yeah.
So, yeah. You must have thought there would be some Sour Santas mixed in with those.
Yep.
The first time I met Paul was at a meal. And
can you be more specific about when you first met Paul? Because it makes me laugh.
Oh, yeah. We went to see ABBA Voyage.
Yeah. What a great first date.
Good fun.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. And turned up, and I think I sat next to you. I think the first thing I said was, "Do you like sauce? I heard you don't like sauce." Oh. Immediately.
It's nice to know that.
I've been told you don't like sauce.
I assumed you were behaving yourself on this job, but no.
I can't.
It's a weird thing. I get it. And yeah. You've been wondering for now a few years.
But now we know. Yeah. Now we know, and we're so grateful.
Were you excited to know that you were going to get to really get the answer?
Well, it was a thing of like, hopefully I'll be able to get the answer. I hadn't met you before, so I didn't know.
Right.
I didn't know if I'd go like, I heard you don't like sauce. You'd go like, just fuck off, man. I didn't know what kind of a guy you were. Could be like, oh, fuck it. Well, who'd you heard that from?
To be fair,
she could go fuck yourself. So I didn't know what was going to happen.
I think if Paul would said something like that, you would have heard that Paul had a rep already, right?
Someone would have already told me. Yeah, don't say. So I was excited to get to the bottom of it. I thought, oh, maybe if there's time in the schedule, we can do a podcast episode and the listeners can find out. But if not, I could just, you know, snitch on him on the podcast myself. But but yeah, I was very excited to learn the answer to it all because, yeah, we didn't know. I mean, you know, I'm very excited that we finally answered a question of the podcast.
I just think it sums it up really. Like, it's not a yes or no answer. Life's complicated.
Life's complicated. Hey,
yeah, exactly. Not all things are black and white.
Yeah.
And
they're brown.
They're brown. They're brown. My favorite sauce color.
I went to the Abba Voyage, and afterwards said to Paul, what did you think of that? He said, brilliant, and we're all going to die.
Yeah, I found it to be equal parts.
Yeah, I get it.
Incredible and unsettling.
Mm.
And and I watched that entire show and thought, oh yeah, no, this is the beginning of the end.
Yeah, it's the end.
Actually, the beginning of the end happened a while ago.
Mm.
But this is just further proof that we're all getting phased out.
Yeah, it's mad that ABBA is part of that realization that it's the end of humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fitting in a way.
Like when those robot army dogs came out, those videos, I was like, well, that makes sense. This feels like a film.
Yeah.
But now it's holograms of ABBA. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't believe this is part of the end of human history.
And then it was a kind of a fascinating case study because the song would end and the place would go crazy and applaud. And you would think you're at a concert. Mm. And I just thought they're all applauding this band that they're applauding a movie.
Yeah.
They don't know you're appreciating what they just did.
Yeah.
It was weird. I thought the whole thing was super weird.
Whenever they would give speeches, the band members would give speeches. That was the weird. When they were kind of like,
yeah,
because obviously it's all pre-programmed in. And one of them's talking at one point, says something, goes, oh, I heard a bit of a sarcastic laugh over here.
Yeah.
And then carries on. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Bjorn.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like a sad note to end the podcast on, that it's the end of humanity, but there we go.
There you go.
Well, I mean, look, we're all going to eat great meals as we're, taking that last dip in the pool. And we can only celebrate.
Yes.
We can celebrate the music of ABBA. We can celebrate fine meals and friendship and laughter.
And to the listener, Paul Rudd has never been here. That was AI. The whole thing was AI.
The whole thing was a hologram.
Absolutely right.
Reveal.
I'm here. That's exactly right. And now for Waterloo.
Waterloo! Thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant,
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
There we are, the off-menu of Paul Rudd, James.
Mystery solved.
Mystery solved. He's saucy and knotty.
Yeah. He does like sauce, but he doesn't like ketchup, mustard, or mayonnaise.
Done. And he didn't put ants on his menu, which was a relief.
So we didn't have to kick him out. We appreciate that, Paul. Thank you very much. And, what a lovely way to end Series 10.
Thank you so much to Paul Rudd for coming into the Dream Restaurant. We'll be back soon with another guest.
I imagine in exactly a week's time from when this has been released.
Unless...
Or...
Next series. Don't forget to grab a copy of my book, Glutton, The Multi-Course Life of a Very Greedy Boy.
And make sure you go and watch the new Ghostbusters film, starring me and also Paul Rudd.
It's called Ghostbusters, James Bucaster.
Boo, kids! Don't be scared.
Bye!
Oh, man, I'm getting fired from that film.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.